Basically, it was timber that has been cut, and that's the condition of the property. Now, it's a little bit unusual in that the parcel A, which is the piece that's on the left or the west side of Hollyville Road, is actually zoned GR, General Residential. And as you know, that permits single-family homes, including manufactured homes, at a density of 4 lots per acre. Parcel B, the piece on the east side of Hollyville Road, is actually split into 2 zoning districts. And the piece immediately along Hollyville Road, I'm not sure if it's 300 feet or 400 feet, 400 feet. 450 feet is actually zoned GR, and that contains about 14.8 acres, and the remainder of that parcel is zoned AR, and that contains about 66 acres, and of course the AR portion permits 2 lots per acre. Now, combining those zoning districts together, the maximum density permitted by the GR and the AR zoning designation for this property is approximately 540 lots. Now, our application before you tonight is for a density of 296 lots for Welsh Run, and that request is about 55% of the maximum number of lots permitted and is an effective density of 1.7 lots per acre. Now, for the purposes of design and compliance with the AR cluster ordinance, and again, the AR cluster ordinance, as the name implies, would only affect the AR portion of this proposed subdivision. The AR lands contain about 66 acres. That would permit 2 lots per acre, or 132 lots. And the plan that we have proposed before you has 131 lots located in the AR zoned area. So it is in compliance with the AR cluster ordinance. And I do want to note that this application was filed in September of 2005, so that was before the ordinance change that created the low-density cluster subdivision with the 25% reduction. So this was filed when the ordinance did permit the 2 lots per acre. The remaining 165 lots that are proposed are located in the GR zone lands. The GR zone lands, as you know, are required to have a minimum lot size of 10,000 square feet, and the lots that we're proposing do have that minimum lot size. And then for consistency purposes and appearance purposes, the lots that are located in the AR cluster will also have a minimum lot size of 10,000 square feet to be consistent with the lands that are in the GR zone. So we're not using the minimum 7,500, but we're going to maintain a 10,000 square foot minimum. Again, for purposes of compliance with the AR cluster ordinance, the area that's zoned AR will contain 26 acres of open space, which is approximately 39% of the AR area. The GR area will contain 55.43 acres of open space, which is 52% of that area. Combining the two together, the overall Welsh Run subdivision will have 77.5 acres of open space, which is 45% of the site. Now, in designing the subdivision, a number of studies were performed. Comments are made in the record that we had submitted. There was a traffic impact study that was performed by Orth Rogers and Associates that was done in accordance with DLDOT requirements. As a result of that study, a number of roadway improvements were requested by DLDOT, and we are agreeable to complying with those DLDOT requests. The improvements are set forth in a letter from McCormick and Taylor, who are traffic engineers, and they basically were hired by DLDOT to do some of the TIS reviews. And again, that letter, a copy of that letter is in the record. And obviously, those roadway improvements would be a condition of approval of the subdivision. A wetland delineation was completed by Atlantic Resource Management, Inc. We'll be showing you where the wetlands are. They're in a limited area. There's approximately about 2 acres of wetlands on this site. Soil studies were performed regarding the suitability of the site for a central wastewater facility that was submitted to DENREC, and a wastewater feasibility approval letter based on that soil study has been issued by DENREC. Again, a copy of that letter is in the exhibits that were submitted. Additionally, a Phase 1 environmental audit was done by Jim McCauley, which is Environmental Consultants, Inc., and a copy of that is in the record. Water for Welsh Run for both domestic and fire protection will be provided by Artesian Water Company, which is, again, a public regulated water company. And there is an ability to serve letter that's in the exhibit book that we submitted. Wastewater will be by way of a central community wastewater system operated by Tidewater Environmental Systems, Inc., again, a publicly regulated wastewater system. And as I stated, the ability to serve letter from Tidewater is in the exhibit book. And a feasibility approval on the soil has been issued from DENREC. And again, Mr. Esposito is here if you have any questions. For the record, electric will be provided by Delaware Electric Co-op, telephone by Verizon, and cable TV by Comcast. Welsh Run will be subject to a declaration of restrictions. All owners will be required to be members of the HOA. The HOA will be responsible for enforcement of the restrictions for maintenance and operation of the common areas and the community facilities, and the collection of dues and special assessments enacted by the association for the completion of the items I just mentioned. The site is located in the fire service area of the Millsboro Fire Department, and it's a little bit of an unusual situation, but the west portion to the west side of Hollyville Road is actually in the Indian River School District. The portion to the east side is in the Cape Henlopen School District. So it's right on the boundary line between that, and I don't know whether that's something the schools would work out or not, but that would be a question for them. Now, I had mentioned that the land is zoned both AR and GR. The AR zoning permits, of course, low-density single-family lots as a permitted use, and the GR actually permits medium-density residential use as a permitted use, and the proposed density of 1.7 lots per acre is significantly less than the maximum permitted and is low density under any category of the land use plan or the zoning ordinance. Welsh Run is consistent with a continuation of other residential developments that have been approved in the area. And I had submitted for the record an exhibit, and I just have copies of this. If I can ask Mr. Lank to hand these out to you, and I can just walk through this with you quickly. And just for the record, I did submit this previously as an exhibit. I just have here the summary page of the names of some developments in the area, as well as the copy of the, actually they're the maps that PLUS uses to show where developments are located. And on the copy that I actually submitted for the record, I do have minutes from the Planning and Zoning Commission of these developments, the records from your prior hearings. And if you turn to either of the maps, we have the second map that has the names of the developments on there. And what that's showing, if you're driving north on Route 5 and you turn on the County Road 302, so you make a left on the County Road 302, what you're seeing here, and this is headed in the direction of where the proposed development is, first of all, Stonewater Creek, phases 10 through 13, are located on the south side of the road there. And next to that is Double Eagles Farms, and that's also located on the south side. On the north side was a development that was approved that was called Indigo Run. That is now, I believe, called Independence. As you continue further west on the road, you'll come to a subdivision approved called Weatherby, which is, again, on the south side. You then come to the site that we're talking about tonight, the Welsh Run site, again on both sides of the road there. And then if you go further south on Hollyville Road, you come to a development, Avebury, which is on the east side of Hollyville Road. And Avebury is the property where pumpkin chunking is being held. Now, Welsh Run is consistent and similar to those residential developments that have been approved. Basically, as I stated, the density of Welsh Run is proposed to be 1.7 lots per acre. And if you look at the front cover page of what I just handed out to you, you can see that the those developments that I just mentioned are basically consistent, or let me put it this way, Welsh Run is consistent with what's already been approved in that immediate area. Indigo Run is 455 lots. It's a 1.37 lot per acre density. That is a cluster development. Double Eagle Farms is a standard development that's 1.07 lots per acre. Weatherby was a cluster subdivision, 1.94 lots per acre. Avebury was a cluster subdivision, 1.7 lots per acre. And Stonewater Creek, phases 10 through 13, again, was a cluster ordinance of 1.8 lots per acre. With that, what I'd like to do is to turn our presentation over to Matthew Peterson of Element Design to explain and review the site plan with you, and then I'll try to finish up as quickly as I can. And Matthew, if you can introduce yourself and give your qualification.
My name is Matthew Peterson. I'm the president and head land planner for Element Design Group.
My voice is kind of going, so. Basic layout, as you guys know, there are four entrances to the subdivision, one off of Zor, a combined entrance right across one another at Hollyville, and then one onto Harmon's Hill in this area here. Generally speaking, the layout of the site is such that no lots back up to one another. We try to maximize our use of open space. You'll see in a second on our plan of the trail locations of how we've kind of laid these out. Again, minimum lot size is 10,000 square feet. Kind of nestled these all in through nicely sloping roads to kind of slow some traffic down and kind of create some nice viewscapes as you kind of go through these different areas. No direct cut-throughs or anything like that. So overall, that's the basis of the design. We have a ditch that kind of runs through the property in this area here. We've kept a minimum of 50-foot setbacks, and that 50-foot would be in this area here to illustrate most of our setbacks are quite in excess of 50 feet on all of our borders. This is our wastewater treatment area here, encompassing about 11 acres. Outside of that 11 acres, which is required to treat the wastewater, we've then left a 100-foot landscape buffer all around it. So just so that you can see, there's a 100-foot buffer, then the 11 acres, and another 100-foot buffer all the way around this area here. We've left 50-foot open space, 50-foot buffer or around all of the wetlands area in this area here, although not required to do so. Really, that's the general trend of how we're getting there. If you guys have any particular questions, I'll get back up and answer.
Sure.
We also brought a little board that shows the amenities. We're proposing an integrated trail system. Like I said before, we don't have any lots that back up to one another, so to enhance that kind of look between these areas here, we propose to have a walking trail to provide access throughout the site so you can walk and enjoy a passive recreation type thing, such things as overlook here, top lot, those types of things, so you can meander throughout the community and take a nice long walk and also a nice way to cut through to different areas of the site, whether that be neighbors or different amenities within the natural site itself. And then we propose some sort of amenity, some sort of more active recreation in this area here, again, accessed via trail routes. When the bus stop idea would obviously be somewhere in this area, again, we'd have to work out with whose district is what, if we could share one or all those types of things, but those would be located kind of here where we have all of our trailheads sort of come together. So the idea of the trail itself is to eliminate the interaction between people and cars. I don't really feel like sidewalks really accomplish that as much as you could with a mandated trail system that could allow you to infiltrate throughout the site and make use of this open space in a more direct route.
Again, gentlemen, I'm going to give Mr. Lank some proposed findings and conditions, if he could. Actually, I gave it to Mr. Robertson. In conclusion, the AR portion of Welsh Run does comply with the AR cluster ordinance. It does contain at least 10 acres. The open space exceeds 30%. The minimum lot size, again, is 10,000 square feet, which exceeds the minimum permitted. There is a buffer provided. Lot access is all by way of internal streets. There's no wetlands in any lots, and central water and sewer will be provided. The AR portion, as well as the overall development, we believe creates open space. It protects the wetland area, which is, again, located just in this immediate area right here. with significant buffer being provided. Again, that's a 404 wetland, which doesn't technically require a buffer, but there is a significant buffer provided from that area. We utilize a density of about 55% of what's actually permitted on the site, and we believe that the design, again, creates what we think is a superior design overall and an environment that exceeds the standard option subdivision. In addition, the design basically takes into consideration the items that are listed in 99.9C. Again, we did submit in writing a letter that summarizes how we believe we've complied with those considerations, and in the interest of time, again, I will not read that. It's part of the record, and I would ask you to review that. I have submitted, again, proposed conditions, which I will just summarize as being consistent with conditions that you've imposed on other subdivisions, and also proposed findings of facts that we would ask you to give some consideration to in your finding. I know it's getting on late, so basically that will conclude our presentation, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
All right, sir, thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions. I believe, well, this is, we'll start with Mr. Burton this time, since this is Mr. Johnson's area.
The 10,000 square, will they all be stick-built homes?
Yes, there's no manufactured homes. It will not be permitted.
Regardless of the zoning. That's my question.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy?
I have no question.
Mr. Smith?
Yeah, and looking at the site, my observations were it was that a lot of the old stumps still intact on the land. Is there a good way of treating and dealing with the removal of those stumps that won't compromise your wastewater permeability rates or any of that engineering that goes into that, as well as any of the...
That question's a little out of my league. I'm going to have to...
I guess you walked on the site.
I was at the site, I know you've been down there, but basically it is cut over, but it has, periodically it has a tree. It looks like they're pretty well spaced out, but certainly nothing mature. I don't know whether we're replanted.
No, I was talking about the stumps.
Right, the stumps.
Steve Smaller, Duffield Associates, 128 West Market Street, professional geologist in Delaware. I happen to be here for the other project, but I also did some field work on this particular project, particularly on the site you're talking about with regards to the proposed wastewater disposal location. The site is, you know, like you said, has stumps in it. It's the area for the proposed wastewater disposal is primarily open with some shrub type vegetation in there, and the wooded debris that's out there could easily be removed as part of the typical construction practices for it. It's very shallow removal, very shallow root zones, and a lot of the trees are already knocked over.
So you feel confident whatever's represented, I know you'll comply with what your final analysis is.
Yeah, I didn't do the soils work, but I was out there doing the deeper aspects of it.
Would be undue compaction or any of those things that...
Typically, with those type of constructions, the recommendations for the construction practices are with tracked or low-pressure tired vehicles to reduce the compaction during construction activities, or don't even go into the disposal area, reach in from the side. Very typical construction conditions.
Thank you. And I just had a question about the site plan for the planner.
Yes, sir.
Just have a question. Of that plan there, would you let me know what is the aspect of it that you're the most proud of?
Well, what we try to do as a company in general, and this plan accomplishes that, is we really don't like to back lots up to one another. So we've taken great lengths to make sure that we kind of follow true to that, work a lot with the topography of the site to make sure that kind of minimize the impact to bulk grading and those types of things. So that would
do any lots back up to each other?
I mean, I guess you could. Yeah. I actually drew this one, so if it did, I'm actually personally in trouble. No, I don't believe they do.
So every lot basically backs up to open space.
Yes, that's true.
I don't think they do.
I mean, they get a little narrow. You can make that argument, but yeah, most of them are back straight up to open space. So that would probably be my, that'd be my most proud of that.
Thank you. No other questions.
Okay. Mr. Lang.
There was a mention of the active open space, but it wasn't mentioned what the activity was.
As we're proposing now, in a conceptual state, would be quasi-sports court for various different kinds of games. And you can see that it's obviously striped for a half basketball court. You play a number of different sports on a harder type court. It wouldn't be like sand or anything, but it would be a harder type court for the active recreation. And we propose a little tot lot, which I suppose for tots is probably pretty active. So swing set and a small slide and climby thing.
That's all I have. Okay. Mr. Counts?
In DLDOT's approval, I guess, of the TIS, was there any reservation for future improvements of that intersection with Zor and Harmon Mill and Hollyville?
I don't remember specifically the DLDOT recommendations. Was there any right?
I can comment on Preston Shell with Ocean Atlantic, one of the applicants. DLDOT has spoken of, and these are things they talk about conceptually, but try to get just, they haven't even access to set aside land, so my guess is it's almost in the pre-conceptual phase, but of having a connector road run along, I guess this is Zor Road, and then connect to Harmon's Hill. And it was interesting, so when I was meeting with DLDOT, they suggested we set this aside because it will be an appropriate location for commercial zoning at some time in the future. And we opted not to do that, thinking it presumptuous that they would actually improve that road at some time in the next 10 years, and also not feeling it appropriate to run in here and reserve that property and then have you guys ask me why, and then mention that because DLDOT thinks I should rezone a commercial at some time in the future. So I don't know what their exact plans are, but they have discussed putting a two-lane each direction, mind you, connector road right here. And I think that would turn into a fairly decent-sized intersection if they did do that.
That's Zor?
It's Zor, and also Avalon comes in there. It's a very awkward intersection.
This is not a good intersection at all. Okay.
Right. That's why I was asking if they're asking you to reserve any right-of-way for future realignment of those roads. They didn't ask for anything.
Do we have a signal agreement?
All stop.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do not know the answer to that, but I can say that if they did ask, that there should be something done with that intersection, and if DLDOT did ask us to do it, we would fully comply. And I'd be surprised if they didn't, because if you go out there and just try to experience that intersection,
it's horrible.
It's very awkward. You don't know really who has the right-of-way and who's supposed to stop and who's not. It's
that intersection. That's all.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson.
Yeah, I guess following up on that, it's more of a rhetorical question. The last application we had, they didn't want two entrances, and they wanted one in a bad spot, and then this one, they give you four entrances, you know? I mean, it's just, anyway, that's, like I said, that's more of a rhetorical question. I don't even know that there's a
question or a comment.
Yeah, right. But I guess for Mr. Fuquay, two questions. I think from what you said with the AR-GR relationship, if I understand it right, basically it's all designed to comply with AR. I mean, is that an accurate statement? I'm trying to figure out if in the commission's consideration of this, they got to be looking at where the line is for GR and how that affects the lots or densities or anything like that.
The AR portion of the property, if it was not utilizing the AR cluster option,
right,
it would be required to be 20,000 square feet. So the AR portion is using the cluster,
right,
but is not going to take it to the 7,500 square feet, but is going to maintain the 10,000 square feet. The GR obviously can't use the AR cluster because it's GR, right, and there is no such thing as a, quote, GR cluster. So 10,000 square foot lots are permitted. So I'm not sure if I can answer your question. It's a mixture of things, but the AR portion complies with the AR cluster ordinance. The GR portion complies with the GR zoning requirements.
But not to the minimum requirement.
But not to the minimum. Right. We wanted to keep a consistency in the style, so it'll all be 10,000 square feet minimum.
So there's no lots less than 10,000 square feet.
No, that's correct. Right?
No manufactured homes.
No.
And I guess the AR clustering, if They are a clustering section. If you took out the GR, it would work on its own with its own calculations for density and everything else.
The AR. It's one lot less than would be permitted in the AR cluster area.
And then the next question, just because I know I'm going to probably be asked it at some point, came up earlier on an application that Mr. Smith was discussing about the amenities on two sides of a major road, and we've heard that that's sort of a bad intersection. What, for the commission's benefit, break down what amenities are on what side, I guess, of Hollyville Road?
At this point, the trail amenities on both sides of the road and runs throughout the entire community, and all trails kind of double back on themselves. There's no dead end. So on this side of the road, on the west side of the road, we propose kind of the tot lot area here, and on the east side of the road, more in this area, we propose more of the active recreation, all being connected by the trail. And we only have one crossing of the trail closer to our entrance, to these shared entrances here, crossing one time the road. So,
I do want to mention is that for those of you that have seen other Ocean Atlantic developments, this is relatively under-amenitized. And that's by design. We actually looked at our kind of portfolio of properties, recognizing that affordable housing is becoming a bigger and bigger issue in the county, and decided to choose this property as the one we tried to get the most affordable housing without applying for, you know, extra density or entering some kind of subsidy program, just trying to design an attractive community that was affordable that we can build relatively affordable homes on. And to be entirely honest with you, we were hoping we could leave the modular home option open tonight, thinking that there's certain modulars, for example, the modulars that Berica are building right now, that are very attractive, and you really have no idea that they're even modular. And that would allow our affordability to increase here. However, if it's in the commission's desire and they want to restrict that, that's perfectly up to you all.
The question was for manufactured homes.
Oh, yeah, no, not the kind you can drive off your lot.
I don't think the commission is in the business of telling you whether or not you can have modular or stick built. There's no ordinance differentiation between the two. So
we would not do,
They could give us a reference to size.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, I mean, we just could certainly have a.
If it's not restricted.
Yeah, it could be a size. Could be size restricted, but.
Yeah, but the question was whether it was mobile or manufactured.
Yeah, see, sometimes I have a hard time distinguishing. We would not do the mobile, the single wide.
You would do building code compliant.
Correct.
Homes, yeah. Where the manufactured housing is to the whatever code,
HUD
code, you're doing Sussex County building code compliant homes.
Yeah.
As does Berica, for instance, everything they do. And I think leaving that option open, it's none of our business, but I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. We'll see how affordable we really can get this community, but we're hoping that we can get homes in the mid-200s here. Which for this area, I think you guys know, is about $100,000 less than the average home is selling for.
Thank you.
Hey, I might add, we did have a discussion because obviously on a lot of developments, you see a standard swimming pool house in that option. We discussed that, and I was saying, make sure you have a basketball court anyway on there, but the pool, quite frankly, it's an amenity that at best is used maybe 10 weeks a year. It's an expensive amenity, and with the type of what the goal here was, we decided it just wasn't desirable on this type of development. There may be other amenities, and I think as Preston said, right now it's kind of minimal, and they will add things that they deem appropriate.
I think we understand your objective. So. All right, sir. Anything else, Mr. Robertson?
No, that's it. Thanks.
All right, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Fuquay and company. If you stand down for a second, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-74, Delmarva Woodlands Alliance 4 LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-74? Yes, sir, in the blue, and then over here. Okay, go right ahead, sir.
My name is Tim Murphy. I live at 2799955 Fieldwood Drive. We're right in back of over here.
Okay.
I'm president of the Homeowners Association.
Are you speaking for the Homeowners Association tonight?
Yeah, we had a meeting. We had some questions about
speaking on behalf
thing.
Of the Homeowners Association. Yeah. Just okay. Just want to be clear.
Which project was that?
What's that?
Which project was that?
Do you live in
Fieldwood Farms?
Fieldwood Farms. Okay, thank you.
The proposal called for central wells, and I've heard that they're going to be artesian. How deep were they going to go?
Find out.
Okay. And will there be one, or will be there be some, you know, more than one on that whole plan? We don't know what that is.
Okay.
And he told us who the provider would be. We want to know what impact that well will have, or those wells, I don't know what they are, will have on our service water. We're on a big aqueduct there, and we don't know how much. I don't know. I don't know how much it would cover. And we'd like to know that. And the waste management area, we're concerned with a central system, but I didn't hear what kind it is.
Okay, we'll find out.
Yeah, and what the geologicals, I when I went through it, they weren't in the folder. We want to know what type system it is going to be utilized. Are there any provisions in place to guarantee that we won't get odors from an 11-acre waste disposal area? And are they going to be enclosed? We don't know what any of that is. And will there be provisions in place to prevent any leaching of that water into our wells and causing us problems? And if it happens, are there any contingent plans for Fieldwood Farms? Because we're all single well, single septics. Are there any plans or requirements for the developers to place bonds with the board in case there's problems with the leaching of this into the area?
No, planning and zoning does not have any requirement for bonding.
That's all governed by Public Service Commission, DENREC. Yeah,
those are other people, other
county engineering upstairs.
Have jurisdiction over there.
It's not that nobody has jurisdiction, it's just not planning and zoning.
Okay, I thought maybe it was here. No. I'm not a qualified, so whatever.
That's fine.
We had questions on the proposal for the traffic survey. I remember seeing them, and I believe it was before they made Zora Road, Route 48, alternate 24. And I think they do need to take another look at that. And also, it was before they put in the transfer plant up on alternate 24 at 5. Those trucks, I know when that opens, I believe they're going to be coming down there, and that's going to impact that road some more. And you know, as they were saying, when you come down Zora Road and you come to the four corners, you have to get like this way to see up that road very, really good, and then swing back out. And then when they're coming down Hollyville Road towards it, there's a bend like this, and it's all trees. There's been a few pretty good accidents there. So like they say, if they're going to get DENREC to change that, it'd be good.
Well, it'll be DelDOT that changes
that. DelDOT, yeah.
I would call them and tell them how you felt about it.
Okay.
Tell them that you would like this developer to straighten that intersection up.
And I was going through the thing, and it said that there's a bicycle path, a designated bicycle path on Zora Road. The only place I see one now is up by Morris Mill Pond, and they just put that in last month. I've been over there since 90, and I haven't seen one. So it says it in the folder. And
I'll try to find out about that for you.
Yeah, that's all we want to know. We're mainly concerned with the size of the waste treatment plant.
Okay.
And what it's going to be, and you know, how it's going to work, and what can we do about it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, if you'll take a seat, I'll try to get some answers for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Fuquay, if you would designate the team member qualified to address those issues, unless perhaps it's you.
We'll do water and sewer. Good evening. My name is Mark Chura. I'm Director of Project Management for Ocean Atlantic Associates. As was mentioned, Artesian will be providing water to this community. It will be part of their regional system, so there will not be a well on site. We've had discussions with Artesian relative to reserving a future well site here. We've made no commitments to that, but that will be part of the system that serves Stonewater and other communities that Artesian serves in the area. So in answer to the question relative to impact to nearby wells, they will not be impacted by anything on this site because there will be no central well.
Okay.
That's the sewer.
Mr. Esposito, you're on the other end of this one.
Sound like my wife. Yes, Gerard Esposito, president of Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. We will be providing the wastewater services through our affiliate regulated utility called Tidewater Environmental Services. The wastewater system is similar to one I described earlier this evening. It will be contained in a building. It'll be very sophisticated, high-end treatment plant that will provide the treatment levels required by DNRAC for the inland bays and their total maximum daily load requirements. The proposed treatment plant right now, which has not been permitted, that's why it's somewhat unclear as to the final outcome, but it will probably be a membrane bioreactor which meets the highest levels of standards, and we'll be disposing of the wastewater probably through rapid infiltration basins. The soils and the geological work, which Mr. Smaler has referenced before, show that this is a very good site for that. And for concerns for off-site migration of wastewater, the requirements for these kinds of systems are very extensive, do require both before, during, and after the operation monitor wells to make sure that there are no off-site impacts. And the level of treatment of the effluent actually is greater than what is required for drinking water standards. So we're very confident this will not provide any negative impact to the environment and to the neighborhood.
Would you drink it when it was done?
I could drink it.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Mr. Whitney, just as to the question about the bicycle and things, again, there is a letter in the file from McCormick and Taylor, who, again, are traffic engineers that were working for DelDOT. One of the things they required was a 5-foot bicycle lane along the site frontages, as well as a 15-foot wide permanent easement be established across the property frontage for future multi-path. I think that's a standard thing they require. It is just on this property. It'll get you along this property. It won't get you further down the road. And the idea is eventually this will all be completed.
So the bike path is just in front of their...
Just on the frontages on this property.
That. Yeah, and this is a DelDOT thing. Beg your pardon?
That wasn't what I read.
Well, I'm sorry, that's what it is. So, sorry, it wasn't what you read. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? I think the gentleman over here. Unless he's already addressed all your stuff. Because if you get up here and say the same thing.
He's pretty much addressed it, but I did have one question.
All right, go ahead.
Clarence Edgins. I live at 24436 Hollyville Road.
Okay.
I have 4 acres that back up next to the wastewater area.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure it wouldn't bother the ground level water. For perk test on my property, if I wanted to put in septic systems on it for additional houses.
Mr. Edgins, you're here?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll change your character of your ground.
Okay, because
I'm not a geologist.
Well, no, I was concerned about it.
And I didn't even stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. I can find out for you. The professional geologist here.
Typically on a system like this, the groundwater mounting analysis required by DENREC actually has this map and delineate when the system is finally designed, the extent of the mounding. And in most instances, for a system of this size, it's pretty much located to the immediate vicinity of the disposal area as far as substantial amount of mounding, in the order of a foot or two. It's right underneath the disposal bed itself. As you move away from the site, it drops off dramatically.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else like to testify or speak in opposition, rather, with something different? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Saturday night and Friday morning with us. You may call the office in the morning to see if we made a decision or if we're still here. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-75. Top, you guys are making more noise than the whole crowd that just left here, and I want you to please be quiet and get out of here. If you're leaving, you're also welcome to stay. Subdivision 2005-75, Top Drawer LLC.
One of yours.
Top Drawer.
Okay. We'll find out.
Mr. Chairman, bear with me while I switch top.
Okay. Changing tapes. Okay.
Changing boxes.
Oh, changing boxes. I'm sorry. Changing boxes. Everybody's going to leave anyway.
You want to take a recess?
We're going to recess for 5 minutes, gentlemen. Okay.
Get some nice cake.